We're going to take a little season of prayer here, but I want you to read something before we do. This is actually just one verse that I was going to look at tonight in the message, but we'll see. We may not get to the message. We'll see how it goes. Second Chronicles. Second Chronicles, chapter 7. This might be one of those verses that in some circles gets preached to death. It gets... It's a little bit, I think, misunderstood and sometimes misapplied, but it nevertheless has some spiritual application here to us. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Yes. Okay, anybody need a Bible here tonight? Hold your Bible up, or hold your hand up, we'll give you a Bible. Or hold your Bible up, we'll take it from you and give it to somebody else. Anybody else? You got one? Okay. And if you don't own a King James Bible, then consider that our gift to you. Okay, that's yours. All right, thank you, Tony. All right, 2 Chronicles chapter 7. And this is something that the Lord said to Solomon. And this is early in Solomon's reign as king over Israel, at the time of the dedication of the temple. In verse number 12, the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice, meaning the temple that Solomon had built. He said, if I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people. You know, in the Old Testament, Israel's material blessings were directly dependent on their obedience to God. If they obeyed and walked obediently as a nation, then God sent rain. He blessed their fields. He protected them from their enemies. And when, as a sign of God's displeasure or anger with the nation, he would withhold those things. He would stop the rain. He would allow their enemies to get get over on them. And the Lord said, if I shut up heaven, that there be no rain. Now, if that happened in the Old Testament, you knew that God was upset about something. Now, it's not like you and I today. We can't always connect those material blessings and good weather, necessarily with being right with God or being out of fellowship with God. It's not such a clear connection anymore. But in the Old Testament, there was a direct connection under the law. If you were obedient, God blessed you. If you're disobedient, God cursed you and cursed your possessions and your fields and your crops and everything. So in the Old Testament, when it didn't rain, you knew that there was something wrong spiritually in the nation. There was a way to tell if God was angry with the nation. And he said, if I shut up heaven, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, in other words, sin has consequences. That hasn't changed. In every dispensation, sin has consequences. Old Testament, New Testament, 3,000 years ago, today, sin has consequences. It robs you of God's blessings. You miss out on the best things that God has to give you. When we allow sin in our life, when we allow sin in our families, when we play around with sin. Brother David is talking about that sanctified life, that life of complete submission to God, just yielding everything to God. That's the life that you see the richest blessings of God. And when you and I don't live that way, then we miss the choice blessings of God. We miss out on them, and sometimes we see the chastening hand of God. So although these verses, the next one especially that we're going to read, were given to a nation living under the law, there's still an application here. There's a spiritual application to you and I. But notice what God said in verse 14. This is his promise to his people. If my people, which are called by my name, and there's four things here that they were supposed to do. When you sense that things aren't right and God isn't blessing you, or God has withdrawn his blessings, then here is still a good prescription to just get your heart right and get close to God again. And notice the first thing, humble yourself. Humble yourself. Because a lot of the times our own pride, our own self-confidence is at the root of most of our heartaches. And the consequences of sin, if you trace them back, it's usually the result of me wanting my way rather than submitting myself to God's way. Now, what is that but just my pride? It's my pride that to think that I could be wiser than God, to think that my way could be blessed when God has already shown me in His way and in His Word the way that He blesses. You know, blessed is the man. I love those scripture verses that begin like that. Blessed is the man that. You want to know how to get God to bless you? Take all of those verses in the Bible that say, blessed is the man that. And then just see what God tells you to do. But it's the root of this thing is pride when I think that my way could ever be better than the Lord's way. So the first step in getting things right in your life is normally that pride has to be humbled. You have to, in a sense, inwardly bow the knee. You know, the heart has to bow. The heart has to yield. Inwardly, I have to submit. That's the humility. Humble yourselves. And notice the second thing. Pray. Talk to God about it. Amen? Talk to the Lord about it. Just open your mouth from humility. Open your mouth and talk to the Lord about it. Pray. And seek my face. So this is different than just saying prayers, right? This is not going through a list. It's not going through a prayer list. This is really trying to get a hold of God. Where do you seek His face? Where's His face? Right here. Here's His face. This is where the words come out, the face. You seek His face right here. This is where you see Him, and this is where you hear Him. So to seek His face means you're going to have to talk to Him, you're going to have to get the book open, and you're going to have to seek His face. These are the steps for getting God, for getting God's blessings back in your life. These are the steps to revival. We're asking God to give us a revival this week. And notice how it begins, right? Humility, prayer, seek His face, and then notice the fourth thing is turn from their wicked ways. All right? So you got something in your life you know shouldn't be there. You want God to revive you spiritually, but you got some habit you're hanging on to. You got something that you know isn't right. You don't have a clear conscience about it. You shouldn't be doing it. You shouldn't be going there. You shouldn't be whatever. Looking at that, listening to that, whatever it might be. Well, the right thing to do if you want God to stir your heart up, revive your heart, draw you closer to Him, well, you got to make a decision. You got to get rid of that. Turn away from it. Turn away from it. And this is not the recipe for salvation. This is the recipe for that big next step in the Christian's life. It's that sanctification process. It's that revival process. Humble yourself. Pray. Seek His face. Turn away from those things in your life that God shows you that He's not happy with. You got to do that. Turn from your wicked ways. Then notice what God promises to do. He says, you do this, I'll do this. If you do those four things, this is what God said He'll do. Then will I hear from heaven. Now, again, this is talking about a nation, but you can apply this to you in a way. Hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal your heart. Heal your life. Heal the situation. Hey, do you think if our nation did this, would God fix things in our nation? Of course He would. Of course He would. If God had a nation full of His people that would do this, we'd see some changes in our nation. Absolutely. I have no doubt about that, regardless of the dispensation. But on a personal level, this is how the Spirit of God begins to move in your heart. If you long for Him to do that, if you want to see God do something, He may begin it tonight, but throughout this week, we're praying for God to move in our families and in our heart, in our church. But this is the prescription. Humility, pray, seek His face. And when God identifies something in your life and you know that it's there, you know it shouldn't be there, then just decide in your heart, determine in your heart, you're going to get rid of that. You're going to turn away from that. And you know what we'll see? If we could do that, you know what we'll see? We'll see some revival. We'll see people getting saved. We'll see families getting right. We'll maybe see some marriages getting healed. We'll see people getting stronger. You'll be blessed, and this church will be blessed. And I hope that's going to be my prayer. And I'm going to practice what I'm preaching right now, too. I'm asking God to begin a work and do a work in my own heart. And I love this, too, verse 15. Lyndall Kincaid, when he used to visit here and preach here, this was one of the verses that he would mention numerous times. Now mine eyes, this is the Lord speaking, now mine eyes shall be open and mine ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. Isn't that a blessing? God said, I'm going to listen, I'm going to be attentive to the prayers that are made in this place. All right? So why don't we pray in this place tonight? All right? Why don't we just take a little time right now, and we could just pray one after the other. You don't have to pray long, but let's just begin tonight together as a church family, and let's begin praying for these meetings. Pray for Brother David, not only for the preaching, but for Diana to feel better and for the Lord to heal her back. But for God to work here over these next few days, and for God to do something in your own heart and in your own family. If you and I will do this sincerely tonight, I know we'll see the Spirit of God move in this place and in our church. All right? So I'm going to ask Brother Mike Rubino. Mike, you begin. Are you back there, Mike? Okay, I didn't see you. Mike, you begin, and then after Mike, one after the other, even if it's just briefly, one sentence, two sentences, whatever God leads you to do. But let's just ask the Lord to work and to move in this place. Ladies, you're welcome to pray also. So whoever wants to do that right after Mike, and then I'll close in prayer, and then we'll see what we'll do after that. Okay? Brother Mike, let's go ahead. Let's bow our heads and our hearts before the Lord right now.